In Matthew chapter 7, reading verse 6 tonight. And this passage, this verse, is basically dealing with wise judgment. That is, judgment that honors God. He said in verse 6, he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Father, we again tonight, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to assemble together. We ask this evening, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that we would have clear understanding of the text that is before us. And Lord, as we looked last week and looking at hypocritical judgment, Lord, we pray that we not be hypocrites in our judging. But we also pray this evening that we know how to judge wisely and that we truly understand this passage in its context. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Verse 6, we find here that wise judgment is commanded. Now last week we were looking at verses 1 through 5 where he says in verse 1, "Judge not, that ye be not judged," and then he clarifies what he's saying here in this passage, and he's telling us in these verses not to be a hypocrite in our judgment, and he's dealing in verses 1 through 5 with judging our brother. In other words, judging one another in the church. Now, when we come to verse 6, we realize that all are not brethren. Amen? There are many in the world that are lost. And this verse brings a balance to what we looked at last week. In connection with verses 1 through 5, we are not to be abusive in our judgment. On the other hand, verse 6 is showing us that we are not to be guilty of judging loosely. In other words, there are some things we are to judge. There are some things that we are to deal with, and verse 6 is dealing with lost. I told you this morning I was going to preach on dogs and hogs. Well, in this passage, he does use the word dogs, and he used the word swine. He's not speaking of sheep right now. Last Sunday night, we were speaking of judging the sheep. This evening, we're talking about dogs and swine. Now, as we come to this passage, you and I, as believers, we have an obligation to the truth. I want you to think about that. We are not to judge some carelessly. Neither are we to set aside or to allow people, I guess I should put it this way, allow people to trample over sacred things. So we have an obligation to judge. He said in verse 6, let me read it again. And we're going to turn away for just a few moments and we'll come back. He said, "Give not that which is holy." Now think about that. That which is sacred. That which is precious in the eyes of God. He said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now let's consider these thoughts. First of all, let's identify who the dogs and the hogs are. Turn with me to 2 Peter, and we'll begin here. There's a number of passages in the Bible that speak of this. But notice in 2 Peter, reading in chapter 2. Now, the word dogs and swine, they're used figuratively of men who rebel against the truth, of men or women who hate the truth and fight against the truth. And we are going to come to a chapter that's going to illustrate both of these again in one verse. And that's going to be in verse 22. We're going to begin reading in verse 20. Now, when we think of dogs today, most of us are fond of dogs, and they're mostly domesticated, especially in our country. And we consider, you know, they're considered, I'm going to say they're considered this man's best friend. As a matter of fact, some elevate them to man's kin almost. I mean, the way we treat dogs, they get treated better than some children do in some places of the world. But in the days of Palestine, when the Word of God was written, and even before that and even after that, dogs in Palestine many times roamed in packs. And they were wild. They were vicious. They were feeding like scavengers. And it's hard sometimes for us to comprehend, but you've seen dogs, even here where we live sometimes. There'll be five or six dogs just loose. Nobody really claims them, and they're scavenging for food and things of that nature. They'll get in your garbage and turn your garbage cans over and eat things around your house. We all have experienced that at one time or another. And so but in general today, we think of the little pet that we have in our backyard or in our house that we enjoy having around, that'll bark and warn us when somebody comes around as an alarm or whatever, but not so necessarily in the days, that we're talking about right now. As a matter of fact, I had a friend that when he was a young boy, I can't remember the exact age. He may have been near a teenager, maybe younger than that. But this was up in around Valley, Alabama. He was attacked by a pack of dogs and was climbing into a tree. They're tearing him apart. They almost killed him. As a matter of fact, he preached in this pulpit probably about 19 or 20 years ago. And he told me about this story when I first met him. So dogs can be vicious, especially if they're wild, running in packs. And so that's the ideal that we find here in the Bible when this word is used. The word swine, do I need to say anymore? And so if you've ever raised hogs, you know what they're about as well. And we used to keep a slop bucket around. They'd eat and drink dishwater and coffee grounds and everything else. You can put anything you wanted in there, they'd eat it. And then come to find out Americans eat hogs. And you say, well, I wouldn't eat a dog, but many in Asian countries, they eat the dogs and Americans eat the hogs. And so, anyway, both of these creatures are mentioned in the Bible, not necessarily in a good light. So we find here as we come to 2 Peter in chapter 1, in verse 1, he's dealing with false prophets that are bringing in damnable heresies and even denying the Lord that bought them, and they're bringing upon themselves destruction. In verse 2, now this whole chapter is dealing with this, but in verse 2, he says, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And so this chapter is dealing with those who hate the truth. So he's going to use two animals to illustrate them. And he, as we come down to verse 20, notice here, and he says in verse 20, he said, and for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, verse 22, for it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. That's in Proverbs 26:11. And he says, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mud. And so that is, she goes back to the mud. You can clean her up and give her a bath and put a ribbon around her neck. She'll go right back to the mud hole. And so he uses, again, figuratively, these two animals to represent that which is vile, that which is filthy, that which is against the truth. Now, in Revelation, and I tell you what, turn back to Matthew and I'll just give you these verses real quickly and we'll get back to our text. But in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, he speaks of those who enter into the kingdom of God and partake of the tree of life in the new city, New Jerusalem. And then he says in verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers." In other words, dogs are mentioned here. In the book of Philippians, you would also find in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, the apostle said, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." He's talking about those who are preaching that salvation is through circumcision, etc. Also, as I mentioned a moment ago in Proverbs 26:11, you can also look in Psalms 22, verses 16 and 20. The Lord speaks of those who had crucified Him, had mocked Him, and they're referred to as dogs that had compassed Him and so forth. And so, again, you get the idea there. Now, in Matthew, I'll give you one other passage before we read here again. In Matthew 15, verses 25, well, actually, let me just give you verse 21 through 28. You can go there and read that sometimes. But there is, in this passage, a woman of Canaan, and she came out of the same coast and of Tyre and Sidon, and she cried unto the Lord. She was asking for mercy. And in this text, we find that the disciples besought her and said, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." And the Lord, He said unto her, He said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." But He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Again, we're talking about that which is unclean, that which is not a part of the Holy Covenant. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And then the Lord was impressed with her faith. And He said in verse 28, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." She took her place as a Gentile, as a woman that would be considered as a dog. And she took her place and she said, but the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord was impressed with her faith. Now, coming back to her text, and we're going to read this again. And when we turn away this next time, you can let the passage go. But notice with me as we come back here. Now, keep in mind the false teachers, the dogs, the swine, the brute beast of 2 Peter chapter 3. They had been those who had basically turned from the blessings and the privileges that God had offered. The Lord died for their sins as well as He died for anyone else. They presented the gospel. They rejected that gospel. And so they had set aside and turned against the things that were holy and the things that were sacred. Now let's read this again. And just for the sake of getting this in our minds and our hearts, He says in verse 6, "Give not that which is holy." Now again, you say, what is He talking about? Well, He's talking about that which is sacred, that which belongs to God. He's talking about the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom. This is what He's talking about. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He's talking about this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, the gospel of the glorious gospel. See how it's worded there, the glorious gospel of Christ or something of that nature. He's talking about the precious things of the kingdom are not to be treated cheap. That's what He's talking about. He said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." And we understand that which is holy, the Word of God, the kingdom, the gospel, the precious truths. We also understand the word a pearl here. We understand what that means, and this is thought is actually given to us in Matthew 13:45-46. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a pearl of great price. And also in Matthew 13, the Lord speaks of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that's verses 10 down through verse 16. I'll read those for you. He said, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given you unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." In other words, they have rejected the truth. And so in view of the fact that many in Israel had rejected the truth, he's counting them as the Gentiles now, and he's speaking to them in parables, and he's saying, "I'm giving you, the believers, the truth, because they have rejected it." He goes on to say in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people," now this is an expression that's used for Israel as a whole, "for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears and hear, see with their eyes rather, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." And so, we know that there was a little flock that was saved, and it came out of the nation of Israel. The majority rejected, the majority was destroyed in A.D. 70. Then he said in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes," that's the believer, "for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So, he's spoken these parables to teach the believers, but also to conceal things from those who would reject it. Now he says here in our text, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So we need wisdom. When it comes, as I spoke last week, I spoke more than just hypocritical judgment, but we need wisdom in judging one another and not being a hypocrite, not being hasty and not, you know, but we also need wisdom when it comes to the subject here before us tonight. In other words, we're not to take that which is precious and of great value, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and cast them in places where they're going to be trampled underfoot. There's some people you can't teach. They're unteachable. They have rejected the truth. And so we're not to trifle with sinners who profane the holy name of God. Can we give them the gospel? Yes. Can we give them warning about heaven and hell? Yes. We are commanded to do that. We're commanded to carry out the Great Commission. But in the Great Commission, we're to make disciples of all men. A disciple is the follower. Many are not going to be a disciple. And so, we need wisdom when it comes to this subject here. Now, let me go through some passages. I'm going to go through about 10 passages that will illustrate what we're talking about. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Now, what I'm going to say this evening does not take anything away with giving men warning and preaching unto them about the judgment of God. And speaking to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there is a time, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And so we need wisdom in this area. Now notice with me in Luke chapter 23. I've gotten over the years, and I don't think I'm mellowing out, and I don't think I'm compromising, but I've gotten over the years, I think, to starting to know who to just leave alone. You know, just let it go. I think I'm learning that a little bit. I've not always known that, you know. But I think I'm learning that. Just let some alone. You know, you don't want to mellow out. That's right before you get rotten. Now notice as we come here to this passage, Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read in two different parts in this chapter. But let's go to Jesus Christ first. The one that spoke these words on the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Him and see how He handled things with truth. Truth is precious. Think about how precious it is. The Father, the God, sent His only begotten Son for the kingdom of God, for His church, for His bride. And then the only begotten Son gave His life and shed His blood. That's how precious that the truth is, and it's not to be trampled underfoot. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 23, let me take one verse just for time's sake to begin with. And notice, here is Jesus Christ, and He limited His words before Pilate. Notice what He's being confronted. And verse 3, and Pilate asked Him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And He answered him and said, thou sayest it. He didn't spend 2 days going through the history of the Bible from creation to whatever. He just gave him a very short answer. The Lord knew his heart. Notice another one in this same chapter. In this same chapter, we find in verse 8 and 9, and when Herod, now this is Christ basically refused to answer Herod here. You know why? He knew his heart. The Lord even called him a fox one time. That's not a clean animal either. Okay? He didn't call him a sheep. And he says here in verse 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. The Lord knew his heart, knew who he was, knew the direction he is headed, and knew that whatever he had given him that would be any truth, it would be trampled underfoot. It would become a mockery. Let me give you an example again. Turn to Matthew 15. Now again, don't walk away and say that we're not to preach, we're not to warn. But here's the thing. We must become discerning as to who we are going to disciple, as to who we're going to spend. When people reject the truth, I mean, we see in the Scripture where, I'm going to show you a minute what the Lord told His disciples. But we're talking about Christ's action Himself. Notice here with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. If you begin reading in verse 1, it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, so they began criticizing His disciples. And the Lord said in verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now notice as we come to verse 12. Then came His disciples and said to Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. What's the next three words? Let them alone. Now that's not being crude or hard or stubborn or whatever. The Lord knew their hearts. He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And you see, there's some good lessons that we get here from these passages. Many times we treat the gospel as if we're some kind of salesman. And we placed a customer a much higher level than they should be. And we should always place the gospel, the kingdom, on the higher level. This should be the truth. In other words, many times we'll put family above truth. We'll put others above truth. Truth should always be priority in our lives. And notice with me now in Matthew 10. Several examples. Now notice, not only did Christ practice this. Now why did He say that about the Pharisees? Well, He knew clearly that they had rejected the Word of God. He's the Messiah. He knew clearly that they had rejected it. And He said, let them alone. Just let them go if this is what they want. No more time are to be spent on them. Let them go. Notice with me as we come to Matthew chapter 10. This is the commission that the Lord has given to His disciples. Mission work. Notice what He says unto them. And we'll actually see this in a few moments practiced out in the book of Acts. Matthew 10, reading from verse 11. He said, in whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now that's pretty serious words. He's saying they won't listen to you. Just kick the dust off your feet and move on somewhere else. Go somewhere where they will listen to you. We know that during the transfiguration in Matthew 17, the first five or six verses, the Lord revealed Himself to believers. He did not reveal Himself to those who had rejected Him. When Christ was raised from the dead, in 1 Corinthians, mentioned 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 through about 10, He revealed Himself to who? The believers. He didn't go to the Pharisees and look up Herod and Pilate and some of these folks. You know, He revealed Himself to the believers. And then you'll notice in Matthew 18, the church has an obligation. Church has a great obligation. We don't put hogs above the gospel of Jesus Christ, do we? We don't place dogs above. We're not in the business of selling something. We're not in the business of selling some kind of a product or whatever, or to influence people. We're in the business of seeing souls be saved, and then once they get saved, see them to be disciple. And a lot of churches need to adhere to this because they've lowered every standard. They've lowered standards in music in order to accommodate the hogs and the dogs. They've lowered the standards in dress and doctrine and practice and everything else in order to attract the goats or the hogs and the dogs. And that's exactly what they're getting in the churches. Matthew chapter 18, even coming to the subject here, the obligation of the church. Again, truth is to be elevated above even people. And He says here in chapter 18, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And He said in verse 17, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee, notice, as a heathen. I don't know that he would be a heathen, but let him be as one, and a heathen man and a publican. And He said here in this passage in verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He goes on to elaborate. The point is that truth is to have priority. This precious truth, the gospel, the kingdom, the things that are in the Word of God, they are to be lifted up. They're not to be lowered down to the place where they'll be trampled over by those who don't care. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts in chapter 13. In the book of Acts in chapter 13, you remember the story in 2 Chronicles 36, 11 through verse 21, where they had rejected the Word and rejected the Word, and He sent prophets and He sent preachers, and finally the Lord just finally said, after many years, He said, no more remedy. There's no more remedy, no remedy for them. In other words, they're going into captivity for 70 years into bondage. And there were many killed, many destroyed during the battles that took place when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, teach them who are able to teach others also. You understand what I'm saying? Teach those who are faithful. Teach those who are able to teach others also. Notice with me as we come to the book of Acts in chapter 13. I believe, and I went back this afternoon, I just read a couple of verses here. I believe this is Antioch of Pisidia in the Galatia area. I believe this is where that the apostle is at. But notice, I'm going to begin reading in verse 44 through verse 50. This is the apostles. This is Paul and Barnabas. And notice, as we read through this, the Jews blaspheme, the Gentiles want the truth, and the Apostle Paul just turns from the Jew to the Gentiles. In other words, those that didn't want it, he said, okay, he gave them the opportunities. And so he just turned from them and turned to those who wanted it. Now notice, as we begin reading in verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake again those things which were spoken by Paul. They spake against, not again, but against those things spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Now he had went into the synagogue first. He spoke to them first. So in verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that is Christ, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, notice they were glad. And by the way, in just all these cities, there were Gentile churches established in these cities. And he said, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Now here's that phrase again. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Classic example of what the Lord practiced, what He told you and I to practice. He said, if they don't want it, look for those that do want it. Now, notice in chapter 18, I'm going to give you two more examples in the book of Acts. We'll turn to the book of Titus and close. But notice in Acts chapter 18, and this is the story in Corinth, and this is the chapter whereby the church at Corinth was established. Again, going to the Jew first, and they did not want it, and then Paul comes out of there, speaks to the Gentiles, and a church is established. So we find here in Acts chapter 18, reading in verse 6, I'm just going to read one verse. It says this. He said, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Turn with me to chapter 28. Chapter 28. See, as the Jews were rejecting the truth, we find that Gentiles received it, and there was a church that was established at Corinth. See, turned from those who did not want it to those who did, and we have two letters in our Bible that are written to this church at Corinth. In Acts chapter 28, we read here, I believe it was this past Wednesday night, and Paul is in Rome. He is in prison, and again, he turns to those who will hear. Notice with me, and I'm just going to cut into the text again. You can read it later. But in verse 27 and verse 28, he said, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Verse 28, "Be it known therefore unto you, that salvation, the salvation of God rather, is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And they did. Gentiles all through Asia, all through Europe, received the Word of God, and we know that throughout the entire world and many of the nations around the world, the gospel was received and was believed. Turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 3, and we'll close in this passage. Titus chapter 3. So we need wisdom when it comes to judging our brothers and sisters and one another, not be hypocritical. And what were the two other things I mentioned last week? One is presumptuous judgment, and there was something else we talked about. We need to be careful in all those areas. But also, we need to understand that we are not to just be casting these truths to the dogs and the swine that will tear it to pieces and destroy it and trample on it and so forth. We're not to be doing that. So we're to have good judgment, wise judgment. In Titus chapter 3, reading from verse 9 through verse 11, dealing with the heretic. The apostle says that after you have approached him, and he gives us how many times here in this passage, he said just rejecting because he's rejecting the truth. In other words, write him off. Okay? Verse 9. "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. Man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." So there is a time. There is a time. I mean, the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself, you know, with the Pharisees, with Pilate, with Herod. You know, there's a time where He just either gave them no answer or gave them a very short answer, you know, because He knew the direction they were going. So we'll stop right there and pick up next week. We'll be looking at the subject of prayer again, seeking and knocking and